Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
It is a horrible day out there in the Savage Nation. Bombs are going off. The economy is doing very, very well for the very rich. Let us see what else is going on. The society is imploding like Chernobyl, giving out birth control pills to 11-year-olds because there is nobody at the helm. So what I'm going to do now is begin by reading a few statements. One is, Africans are less intelligent than Westerners. A woman should have the right to abort her unborn child if tests could determine it would be homosexual. I read that the frequency of schizophrenia goes up with the age of both parents. This leads to the latest sociobiological theory that Viagra is fighting against evolution. Because if evolution has selected for erectile dysfunction disorder, it is to prevent older men fathering children. And I suggest that men should store sperm at 15 to be used if they want to be fathers at 80. There is talk of the horror and destruction of life that can arise from having a severely autistic child, and there is hope that by diagnosing autism early, we might prevent some autism-prone families having subsequent children. If I believe something, then I'll say it. I figure generally at least half the time I am reflecting common sense, which is not a lie. I'm inherently gloomy about the prospect of Africa because all our social policies are based on the fact that their intelligence is the same as ours, whereas all the testing says not really. And I know that this hot potato is going to be difficult to address. Should you be allowed to make an anti-Semitic remark? Yes, because some anti-Semitism is justified, just like some anti-Irish feeling is justified. If you can't be criticized, that's very dangerous. You lose the concept of a free society. You want some tips for success from him? Always make necessary decisions before you have to. Don't be the first to tell a good story. Be the first to tell a good story. Don't back schemes that demand miracles. Never be the brightest person in the room. Only ask for advice that you will later accept. These are some of Dr. James D. Watson's pearls of wisdom. The lecture by DNA pioneer James Watson has been canceled in England because his statements are too hard for some people to bear. Never mind debate, but bear. Now, it's certainly okay for Al Sharpton, the man who stood there with a megaphone egging on the Freddy's Fashion Mart fire, which caused the deaths of people, to appear on Fox, because he's inherently more intelligent than James Watson and inherently more, let's say, the rightful owner of free speech than Watson. Jesse Jackson is entitled to make any statement he wishes to make, even though the statements he makes are vile to 90% of people with an IQ above 40. He went down to the area of Durham, North Carolina, after the Duke players were falsely accused of having raped a black stripper, and he basically said things that would be appalling to the average intelligent person, and he got away with it because there's a double standard in America. But of course, you can't have the Watsons of the world speak and debate what they have to say. Instead, we have to listen to those amongst us who really, to be honest with you, do not belong in the public dialogue whatsoever. They only foist themselves upon us. That's the opening. There are some headlines. Where are the staph infections coming from? I touched on this yesterday. Thus far, no one seems to know, despite the billions of dollars we've given the CDC, they have no idea where the staph infection is coming from. They can't figure it out. Just as they didn't know where the AIDS infection was coming from or how it was spread, they just knew how to take billions of dollars and burn it up on parties and trips to the Caribbean to study AIDS. I'm sure that they'll need to raise several hundred million dollars, if not several billion, to study the question of where the staph infections are coming from. And that is because the staff of the CDC has been infected with political correctness. But I will read you again my paragraph from yesterday. Where are the staph infections coming from? We are told this is a new strain of staph. But the good doctors are either ignorant of epidemiology or afraid to tell the truth. Let us reason together. New drug-resistant strains of bacteria appear in our hospitals over the past 10 years. Some are the result of the overuse of antibiotics. Or as a man argued yesterday, some are the result of the underuse of antibiotics. But other strains of bacteria are being brought into emergency rooms by the millions of illegal aliens who use our hospitals for primary care. Doctors, nurses, and others then spread these germs throughout the hospital. And of course, when illegals visit their relatives in the wards, they also spread the gift that keeps on giving. That is drug-resistant staph infections. This is my own theory. I have an earned PhD in epidemiology and human nutrition from the University of California at Berkeley in 1978. Signed, Michael Savage. You can have that for free. I will not auction off that statement. It's worth investigating. Now, I recognize that it wasn't put forward by La Raza. We have to go to one of the folks at La Raza to see what they have to say about staph infections, because I realize that although they have no training whatsoever in epidemiology or science, they may know more about these things because they're culturally more sensitive than we are. These are some of the topics I'd like to talk about. Staphylococcus, James Watson's Pearls of Wisdom. How about Pelosi and her opening up another front in the Iraq war? How about old Nancy? How about old Nancy and the radical left wing putting forward an Armenia genocide bill when I, a mere talk show host, said it will open up not only another front in the war in Iraq, but it will also possibly eliminate our staging point for 70% of supplies to our troops. Now, did Pelosi know this would happen? If she knew this, these things would happen, then she's a traitor. If she didn't know these things would follow pushing the Armenia genocide bill, then she's adult. In either case, this is an example of what you get with Democrats today. This is an example of the kind of Democrat we have today, you see. It's not the Democrats of your father's generation. These are hardcore, well, you define them any way you want. I could define them in 100 different ways. None of them are very pleasant. And there's no point in me saying what I already know. You heard already 50,000 times. Here's another nice story for you on michaelsavage.com. TSA screeners have missed 75% of the fake bombs planted to test security. Now, it doesn't stop them from stripping Irish nuns down to their girdles. Take a look at my website, and you'll see a woman in a burqa wearing a TSA patch, fundamentally fondling a nun. But that didn't help her find the fake bombs planted to test security. No, but she had fun humiliating a nun, and that's the important thing. The important thing is to permit Muslims to wear TSA garb and to humiliate people who are absolutely no threat to security so they can have a good time at the airports, which is why I don't fly anymore. Let's see what else we have for you on the Savage Nation. Well, there's plenty of stuff that I'll get to as the show goes on. But if you'd like to talk about any of these topics, 1-800-449-8255. Let us begin in North Carolina. Chris, go ahead, please.
Yes, Mr. Savage. Long time listening. Look, so issue about Africans being less intelligent than Western whites or what have you. This is clearly garbage, sir. Why would you entertain this notion? Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. What do you mean by entertain this notion? The man's a Nobel Prize winner. What do you mean by entertain a notion?
Proving it's quack science. It's nonsense, sir.
Wait a minute. Let's start again. Which part of his background is quack science?
Hello?
Yeah, you said hello already. He won the Nobel Prize for his part in unraveling of DNA. Okay, so that's not the quack science that you're referring to, is it?
It is garbage, sir. It's nonsense. The dumbest...
Wait a minute, sir. Which part of his background is garbage? His winning the Nobel Prize or what he's saying now about blacks?
For what he's saying about blacks, absolutely.
Well, let's focus on that then. So you're not denying that he won the Nobel Prize for his analysis of DNA?
I don't care about that.
Well, you should care about that. Otherwise, you sound like an idiot.
Sorry.
I mean, just because he offends you doesn't mean he's stupid or that he's a quack.
here you are, you're criticizing Ann Coulter for what she said, and you're going to turn around and make a...
Well, I didn't say it. Dr. Watson said it. What do you want from me? Take it up with him.
Why are you talking about it on your show?
Shouldn't I talk about it? It's in the news. Shall I read you what he said?
I'm the only one covering it.
Well, of course I'm the only one with the guts to cover it.
You're a racist.
I'm the only one with the brains enough to cover it. It's very easy to do talk radio and offend nobody. All you got to do is attack Democrats or Republicans and go home and collect your money. But why not deal with tough questions like this?
Very smart man. You know what you're doing. You're spreading propaganda. You need to stop it. Okay?
Maybe you're spreading hate and propaganda. Did you ever think of that?
Right. Okay. Why don't you grow up, man? You know, and you want.
Or maybe you're spreading hate and propaganda. If you can't reason, then what's the point of having a discussion? He did not say. You see, the problem is you're taking this personally. He did not say African Americans, by the way. He was talking about Africa.
He's just talking about blacks in general.
No, he is not talking about blacks in general. I'll read you what he said before you get mad at me, and I'm quoting him again. He said that he was inherently gloomy about the prospect of Africa because all of our social policies are based on the fact that their intelligence is the same as ours, whereas all the testing says not really.
Ours. What do you mean ours? What, whites, Jews? Who
yes,
talking about?
Yes, that's right. He means people of European heritage.
So you mean generally blacks are generally less intelligent than whites?
Let's analyze. How do you evaluate intelligence? Let's start with that bigger question. How would you analyze it? How would you? I'll give you the floor. You tell me how you define intelligence. How would you judge intelligence?
Mr. Savage, I think if you grew up a little bit, I think...
Wait, sir, please, don't try to talk down to me. You'll only make yourself sound, more idiotic than you already are. I'm asking you to answer a simple question. You're trying to show us you're very intelligent. So please, tell us... What are your parameters for judging intelligence? Is it testing? Is it something else? What is it? How would you gauge intelligence?
Okay, Hitler was a very intelligent man, sir. The man who created the atom bomb was extraordinarily intelligent. That didn't make them good people.
Well, now you're right. Now you're onto something else. That's exactly right. But you're mixing morality or ethics with intelligence. But you're not arguing that all Africans are inherently morally superior to Europeans, are you?
No, I'm not saying that. You're taking it to extreme, sir.
Trying to reason with me, and you may be over your head. What do you want me to do? Pretend that you're smarter than me in order to make you feel good? I've given you the opportunity to answer a simple question. Of course you're offended. I'd be offended also if I were an African-American. But you have an opportunity to come on this show and tell America how you would gauge intelligence. By what standards do you measure intelligence? I'm asking you to describe it.
Grow up, sir. Sir, Mr. Savage, I'm 29 years old, but come on, man. You gotta grow up, man. This is just...
But all you keep saying is grow up, which has no inherent meaning whatsoever. You haven't been able to answer the most basic question.
Right.
And I'm going to give you another opportunity. How do you gauge intelligence in your friends?
How do I gauge intelligence in my friends? I mean... This is just stupid. This is silly, sir. This is silly.
Well, you know what you're doing. You know what you're doing here, don't you? You're sounding very stupid. You're sounding stupider by the second. You can't even engage in a reasonable discussion. You're not doing a very good job to make your point, my friend. And I'm sorry to tell you, I've given you every opportunity to do so. But what do you want me to do? Lower my intelligence to below yours to give you a feeling of superiority? I'm not going to do it. Have a nice day. I'll be back. Now, Dr. Watson has said other things, but I haven't heard anyone call and debate them. He said, where's the thing on gays? He said, a woman should have the right to abort her unborn child if tests could determine it would be homosexual. What do you think about that one? He says, he refers more than once to his disdain for women turning men into girly men, which means men who don't have the courage to say anything. It's absurd. Sounds like our politicians, doesn't it? I think his statement on schizophrenia and Viagra is very interesting. He says that Viagra is fighting against evolution because if evolution has selected for erectile dysfunction disorder, it is to prevent older men fathering children. He suggests that men should store sperm at 15 to be used if they want to be fathers at 80. Here's another controversial statement. He talks of the horror and destruction of life that can arise from having a severely autistic child. And he hopes that by diagnosing autism early, we might prevent some autism-prone families from having subsequent children. So you say, well, that's eugenics. Well, no, if you want more autistic children, go ahead and have more of them. Maybe you can just keep breeding more and more autistic children, more and more unintelligent children, more and more people who need to be taken care of by society until eventually we are no longer able to take care of ourselves because the society implodes. He said pretty interesting things that you don't hear about yet. You want to hear this one? He labels President Bush and Senator Bill Frist rich trash. Did you know that? Did you that? He labeled President Bush and Senator Bill Frist rich trash. I mean, it's unbelievable. He hated him. He said he turned against the left wing and became a libertarian. He said because the left wing doesn't like genetics because genetics implies that sometimes in life we fail because we have bad genes. You hear this? He complains that the poorer classes are having more children than the richer, more intelligent classes. He says, I think now we're in a terrible situation where we should pay the rich people to have children. He says, if we don't encourage procreation of wealthier citizens, IQ levels will most definitely fall. Well, hello, what do you want to say about that? He's a firm believer in eugenics, incidentally. He believes that Ashkenazi Jews, which are Jews descended from the medieval Jewish communities in the area of Germany, have higher intelligence than other people. He says, I've wondered why people aren't more intelligent. He said, why isn't everyone as intelligent as Ashkenazi Jews? And it may be that societies work best when there's a mixture of ability. The bright people would never be an army. This is interesting. I mean, he said all of these. Doesn't mean you have to agree with it. But at least, and you can even get mad at some of it, but you have to argue with it. He said, should you be allowed to make an anti-Semitic remark? He answered, yes, because some anti-Semitism is justified. Just like some anti-Irish feeling is justified. If you can't be criticized, it's very dangerous. You lose the concept of a free society. Hey, welcome to the unfree society. That's what World War II was fought over, free speech, and we've lost it. To a great extent, the mean-faced, clipped-haired women and the light-in-the-loafers men have stolen our free speech.
Savage.
Well, we're getting back to the main question of IQ. What is intelligence? It's a great question. It's been defined and redefined and redefined and defined and redefined, and it's an interesting question. Mark and Akron, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
I was wondering, Dr. Savage, if you could give us a definition for the layman of what intelligence is and how that relates to intelligence and versus knowledge.
It's a great question. I do not have the answer. All I can do is lead the discussion, Mark. Because when I was a kid, I was led to believe those who got better grades were more intelligent than I. It turned out they weren't. I was led to believe that those who did good on tests were intelligent. It was not necessarily true. I was led to believe that those who could memorize large books were intelligent. It's not necessarily true. I, for one, was not a good memorizer. I was not even a good student. I'm in very good company, though. I mean, there are many other people who've achieved a lot of great things in life, actually, or significant things in life, who are not very good students. So it leads us back to the question, really, of what is intelligence, Mark? How do you gauge intelligence in others?
Their ability to communicate is important to me. Their ability to formulate their thoughts and ideas. Not necessarily their knowledge of a subject, but their ability to think things through and come to what seem like logical conclusions.
All right, so you're saying that you admire reason in a person. And, you know, reason is a diminishing quantity in our society. We have feelings, and we have thoughts, and we have ideas. We have very little reason, particularly in the media. When have you last heard anyone in the media say, let us reason together?
Practically never.
Practically never. They give you pre-digested chunks of ideas, and you're supposed to react to it and agree with them or not agree with them. I try it some, like I said, let us reason together on the staphylococcus infection. I don't hear anyone at the CDC saying, let's reason together. Have you?
No, I haven't.
No. So, it's like Watson's controversial statement about Africans. You could get the Mexican people saying, how dare you even raise the question of immigrants bringing in Staphylococcus, that even if it's true, we don't want to hear it, and it should not be allowed to be discussed. Well, you can damn yourself if someone would say that to me. I mean, we may as well dig our own graves and throw ourselves in them if we reach the point where we have every pressure group in the world determining what we can and cannot think. We're finished as a society. I have a book at home that I just got from the PBS series called The War, about World War II. It's got the most astonishing pictures I've ever seen, including posters from World War II. And one section shows color posters of U.S. bonds, you know, buy a bond for the war, and you bought war bonds and helped contribute to the war effort. And a series of those bonds, in the series, one of them said, freedom of speech, what we fight for. I was stunned that our own Congress doesn't even understand that they're becoming more like the Soviet Union, as people like that monster witch, Dianne Feinstein, says that she wants to ban Michael Savage and others from talk radio. These monstrous billionaire left-wingers, these Leninists, are exactly like the fascists that this country fought against in World War II, those who would ban speech they find offensive or difficult to deal with. That's what the people died for in World War II, was to prevent Dianne Feinstein from imposing a fascist dictatorship in America. Do you understand that? Now, let's get back, though, to the question that doesn't agitate me, which is, what is intelligence? And I do want to talk about it. So as I said to you, I was not a good test taker. I always struggled in school. I was always sitting at a desk dreaming, and my mind was always somewhere else. I'm easily distracted. Well, I don't know. My mind was elsewhere. Let's put it to you that way. I don't know where. Personal problems, an idea. I don't know where they were. I wasn't devising the theory of evolution, but my mind would wander. So I didn't have the ability to sit and memorize. And a lot of the kids who could became doctors or lawyers. I would say some rather prosaic doctors and lawyers. I don't know of any who became particularly brilliant physicians or scientists. Some may have. And I don't know any who have become great legal theorists. They've become lawyers. Good. I couldn't be a lawyer because I couldn't memorize all those books. People said to me, be a lawyer. I told you this before. When I grew up, all the families were man and woman, you know, married and together. And everyone else's mother and father was like your surrogate mother and father as well. You could run to them off that street in the Bronx and go to their apartment if you were hungry, or if you were cut, or if you needed somebody to console you for something. His mother was as good as your mother, and she would be your mother, for it was beautiful. It was a great, great way. But the fathers were also everyone's father in those neighborhoods in those days. Kids were not alone. They were never alone. There was always someone watching those kids. Believe me, nobody had a chance to go and grab the child inappropriately. They would have taken that guy and thrown him off a roof. They wouldn't have called the ACLU. The men would have grabbed anyone like a pervert in that neighbor. They would have taken him up to the sixth floor and thrown him off the roof. I can guarantee you they would have done that. And the pervs knew that, and they stayed away from those neighborhoods. But to get back to the other point I was going to make. So as we got older, the guys would sit and talk with, I remember one in particular, one guy's father. I told you, I mentioned him before. I won't mention his name. I hope he's still living. He must be 90 by now. But he was sort of the man's man of the men. He was different than all the other men. All the other men were either small shopkeepers like that. He was a club owner when it was unheard of for a man in that milieu to be a club owner. And a very, very strong, it was like a fighter, street fighter, club owner kind of guy. And he was the kind of guy that kids would gravitate to, because he was just that kind of guy. You know, I don't have to describe in words what men know what I'm talking about. He was a manly guy who boys looked up to. Let's put it to you that way. They knew he was the toughest man in the block. He didn't have to prove it either. He didn't beat up anyone's father. Everyone just knew it, but looking at him. So anyway, as the talk would turn in those neighborhood, in that neighborhood, Johnny, what do you want to be? Billy, what do you want to be? Sam, what do you want to be? He came to me, said, you know, Michael, you ought to be a lawyer, they tell me. I said, why? I didn't even know what a lawyer was. They said, because you talk quickly and you can think quickly. I said, oh, great. Well, what's a lawyer do? They said, well, you see all those books? You gotta go, and the next time you're in a lawyer's, I didn't even know what a lawyer was. You have to read all those books and memorize all. And as I got older, I said, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to remember what's in books and then have to use that in a conversation. So I knew I couldn't be a good lawyer, because that's not how my mind worked. It doesn't mean lawyers aren't intelligent. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying there are different kinds of intelligence is what I'm getting to. And then, no, there's a certain development in my acceptance of intelligence. I come from a very parochial world of New York City. People in New York City are very prejudiced and very parochial in their attitudes about intelligence and class and coolness. They all think they're the smartest people on earth because they aren't, generally. You know, they think that their street is the best, their block is the best, that this is the best. But all the years I've been gone from New York, it took me a long while to adjust to certain understandings. I came to learn in traveling, for example, in the Fiji Islands and sitting many, many hours with black men drinking kava kava, that there's a different realm of intelligence. And I spent many a night sitting and drinking kava kava with black women in straw huts, and I came to understand that there's another dimension of intelligence, that it's all not based upon quickness of mind, quickness of thought, ability to answer questions and answer tests. So you got to understand, my definition of intelligence is much different than you may think. I'm highly educated. I have a bachelor's degree, two master's degrees that are real, including one published as a book, one dissertation published as a book, and the other one published as a book. Make no mistake about it, I have the real McCoy in education. Really good stuff. But I don't gauge other people solely by their education. I have met people without an education who are extremely intelligent. They didn't have the opportunity, they didn't have the father, they didn't have the mother, they didn't have the drive, they didn't have the psychological motivation, whatever it was. It doesn't mean they have a low IQ. I've met criminals without formal education who are super high IQ people. You've met criminals who have high IQs, high intelligence quotients, but there's something warped in them which gives them the psychological desire to steal or to hurt people along with their intelligence. So, you know, there's something's missing there. Something broke along the way, and there's no defining, you know, how that happened or why. And then when I got to California in the 70s, I also had a wise guy attitude that people were stupid here because they talked slower. And then the more time I spent out here in California, the more I realized that some people can talk slow, but they actually are very intelligent. It took me a long time to slow my mind down, to listen to the things people were saying, to understand that some of the things they were saying were quite wise or intelligent. Now, conversely, you can also dismiss fast-talking New Yorkers such as me as facile or glib or unintelligent. And some of you like to do that because you are incapable of actually hearing what I have to say. So what is intelligence? I don't know. Let's go back again. What is intelligence? Do you measure it only by the number of Nobel Prizes? Well, that's one way to measure it up until about 1958. But when you look at who's been given Nobel Prizes since, like Al Gore with an invented theory that's not even based upon science, but it's a political theory, or some of the other questionable Nobel Prizes, such as those given to Yasser Arafat, who specialized in murdering innocent people, I wouldn't gauge the number of Nobel. I wouldn't use the number of Nobel Prizes as a gauge of IQ anymore. So where do we turn? Okay, let's take kids. Some kids are very good at book learning. God bless them, and we need them. But we don't know how high their IQ really is. Another kid might be horrible at memorizing and writing, but he's a heck of a painter. Or what about the child who's has a wonderful musical IQ? Like through the roof musical IQ, but like really average or below average when it comes to academics and other subjects. So what is his intelligence? So therefore, I think you have to answer the question, and you have to ask the question a different way, and you have to answer the question in a different way. I don't believe there's one human cultural standard for IQ, number one. Otherwise, we would all be taking one standardized IQ test. On the other hand, you can't throw out all testing, as some of the socialists amongst us have tried to do, and say testing is inherently racist or biased. That's rubbish. There have to be minimal standards for intelligence in order for children to graduate from classes. I'm a former teacher, and believe me, although some kids were not very good at test taking, you can tell pretty much they were intelligent anyway. And there are kids who are not good at tests, and they're stupid. Okay? So to get back to the bigger question of what is intelligence, I can't give you the answer. I can only lead the discussion. And I think that's a great answer. That's all I can do for you. And it goes back to the black guy who called earlier who got mad at me. I didn't make those statements about Africa. He did. He got mad at me for even repeating what the man said. when I said at least we can discuss it. Don't tell me it's forbidden to discuss Dr. Watson's pearls of wisdom. He said other things that were offensive to groups. He offended Jews. He offended homosexuals. He offended those with erectile dysfunction. He offended girly men. He offended, thing that children get that they call now? I don't even know what it's called. Autism. I don't even know what autism is. I'm not so sure I accept it. It's too prevalent for it to, you know, it's another story. A lot of these definitions of illnesses are invented in order to justify stupidity. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Well, we're touching on a raw nerve, which is what is intelligence? And it was set off by the Nobel Prize winner, James Watson, who made some disparaging comments about Africans. And rightly so, if you're of African heritage, you're going to take umbrage with it. Anybody could understand that. Now, let's move on in the discussion past Watson. What is intelligence? Every man gauges himself against every other man on a pretty regular basis. And he can do it in the form of physicality. Is he a better man than the other man physically? Is he a better lover? Is he a better fighter? In some places, you may say, a man will say, I'm a better provider. I make more money. In our society, all of these elements are at work, depending on what level of society you're in and what age bracket you're in, to be frank with you. And the bottom line for intelligence in America is fundamentally money. It's horrible to tell you that, but you know it and I know it. What is held up more frequently as symbols of intelligence than possessions? Very little. We've become an utterly materialistic society. And for the betterment, I don't know, is it for the better of society? I kind of doubt it. When have you last seen anyone of any value other than held up as a role model in the media? You know, I mean, do I have to repeat who is held up constantly as role models? With their planes and their cars. There's nothing wrong with beautiful airplanes and beautiful cars and beautiful women. But are those the end goals in humanity? They have been for a very long time in one form or another. Go to ancients. The ancients, what did the Romans want to do after they conquered a city? Well, they pillaged it for the beautiful artifacts, or the gold was melted down to make more of their own, God knows, idols. I can't tell you. But now let's get into societies. Let's take an Orthodox Jewish society. What do they look up to as intelligence? To them, the man who knows more words of the Bible by heart would be the most intelligent. Or the man who could interpret God's words more succinctly would be considered intelligent. And let's go to the Muslim world. Well, I guess it depends upon which element of the Muslim world you're talking about. To the Islamists, he who kills more is apparently the better man. You ask the suicide bomber, I've seen interviews with these psychotics, these throwbacks, and they will tell you that they're doing God's work by dismembering infidels. And the more infidels they kill, the better they are as a person. I don't even think they ask themselves whether they're intelligent or not. They don't even ask that question. They're not even in your realm of whether or not they're intelligent. They see the world in terms of Allah worshippers and non-Allah worshippers, and the non-Allah worshippers have to be killed or converted. So we're wasting our time here with this discussion, truthfully, because the enemy today set off bombs in Pakistan, killing scores of people, injuring scores of people. And why did these throwback vermin do it to fellow Muslims? Because the fellow Muslims they did it to were not extremist enough. Now, I don't know how this ends. I can't tell you how this ends. I can rack my brain night after night. You can go from one side to the other, from the side of let's reason with them to all the way to destroy them in their stronghold with atomic weapons. And you tell me, using all of your intelligence, what answer is correct. Because I don't think there is one answer that's correct, or it would have been done already. And so we're all trying to find the middle road with these psychotics. I don't know the answer at this point. I'm sitting here watching these maniacs kill other Muslims without an iota of thought or consideration for the damage they're doing, because they've been brainwashed in these little horrible religious schools by these little dirty, filthy throwbacks with dirty beards preaching the most vile hate you could ever imagine. And you see, here in this country, if you even say one word, that someone finds offensive, they think you're hateful. But you're wasting your time to hate Republicans or hate Democrats or hate liberals or hate conservatives. You really ought to take your intelligence and direct it to the real threat facing you and this world, which are the throwback imams, not only over there, but over here. They're right here, too. Make no mistake about it. You've got these hateful throwbacks in mosques in this country who are preaching the very same vile hatred and murder. Are they intelligent? Well, I don't know. Maybe you think they are intelligent. Do we have the intelligence to stop these throwbacks? No, we don't. We've lost it. Because the men in this country have been deballed by political forces. And the men who could actually do the job in the FBI, in the CIA, in all the other intelligence agencies, even the local police agencies, who want to do the job, have been they've been tied down like Lilliputians. If you read the book, it was where the Lilliputians tied down the giant, Gargantuan, with thousands of little cords. So they've taken our men, our heroic men, our Gargantuans, and they've put strings on every aspect of their body, and the Lilliputians have tied them down to the point where the Lilliputians are now running America. The solution, my friends, I do not have. As I said with intelligence, I've come to a new conclusion with various things. I cannot answer the question, but I can lead the discussion. That may be my new modus operandi for a number of weeks or days. I'll try that one on and see how it works. Okay? I don't have an answer to many of these problems anymore. I give up. But I can lead the discussion. Maybe you have the answers. So if you have the answers, while I take a psychic rest from the world's problems until I figure out what exactly it is that I want to talk about and what I want to do, you can call me any day at 1-800-449-8255, or you can't email me because I gave up reading your emails. I was getting 2,000 a day and I couldn't do it, and I stopped doing it. It's a whole job unto itself. So all you could do is read my website. That's all. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. We can talk about topics other than intelligence when I return, like staph infections, Muslim bombs, and other topics.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Well, it is the Savage Nation. We're talking about intelligence, what it is. The scientist James Watson, made famous by his work in DNA when the Nobel Prize meant something, has apologized for hurtful remarks. And he claims he wasn't saying what he said and this and that. Watson said, now, I am mortified about what has happened. More importantly, I cannot understand how I could have said what I am quoted as having said. I can certainly understand why people reading those words have reacted in the ways they have. To all those who have drawn the inference from my words that Africa as a continent is somehow genetically inferior, I can only apologize unreservedly. That is not what I meant. Well, I don't want to sit here and defend them or attack them. I don't care one way or the other. But you have to ask yourself, why is Africa as a continent, frankly, dragged behind other, societies? And, well, what's going on? Why is it all white men's imperialism? I mean, what's it all about? You have any answers to that one? Can you explain why China is excelling right now and Africa is not excelling? Can anyone explain that? After all, the Chinese were in the yoke of the British imperialists for, 150 years until they were overthrown? What is the answer here? Would you say it's anything to do with culture or intelligence? or how would you conclude? What's your conclusion on that? So anyway, we could talk about intelligence. I mean, there are other topics we could talk about. There are some big stories. Hold on. Here they are. In the old York Times. You know, I realized the old York Times, I couldn't sleep last night because I had the dental work yesterday, a tooth removed. So I went to sleep 8:30 at night and got up 2 in the morning and laid in bed until about 3 when I heard the newspaper thwop on the driveway. And I said, my God, what a high carbon thing this is, newspaper delivery. This is really high carbon. That paper comes to me. Think about it. There's some poor immigrant gets up probably at midnight, picks up this stack of dead trees and printer's ink, drives around spewing carbon from his old, you know, leftover, you know, like a Toyota, whatever. Poor guy, poor woman. And drives around with this heavy piece of newspaper, throws it on my driveway. I said, what would Pinchy Sulzberger do if someone pointed out that just delivering newspapers is a high carbon experience? In fact, most of the stories about the myth of global warming are put out by these newspapers, these comic books for stupid adults. And they're delivered in the most high carbon fashion imaginable. See, most of the people who read the internet have read competing theories on what's causing this slight uptick in global temperature. And I say slight uptick, like maybe a half a degree a century. I'm a boater, for God's sakes. The tide charts were written a long time ago. They're accurate, down to the inch. There's been no rise in sea level anywhere. I keep calendars year after year. It's about the same temperature year after year, the same thing, over and over again. But if you look at the data, there's been like a half a degree in 100 years. Whether man is doing it, whether it's anthropogenic, is the argument. But those who are disseminating the idea that the world is about to come to an end because of global warming are mainly those who write for newspapers. And those who read it are generally people with lower intelligences who simply read newspapers. But what they don't realize is that the vehicle that is delivering the news to them about so-called global warming is really a very high carbon delivery system. I thought about that 3 in the morning. I had to entertain myself somehow to keep from climbing the walls altogether. Now, maybe that's the sign of intelligence. Do you know that I dream in not only 3D, but Technicolor? If I could tell you the number of dreams I have every night, and I remember all of them in detail, I actually painted paintings last night. In my sleep, I painted masterpieces where I saw the brush, I saw the paint, I saw the bubbles of the paint. I couldn't believe this. I actually look forward to going to sleep every night because my dreams are far more interesting than my life. I have the most phenomenally interesting dreams, more interesting than any movies I've ever seen. And the older I get, the more interesting my dreams become. I'm starting to wonder if, you know, that's not the other world. The next world is over there. Wow. Interesting world. So anyway, to make a long story short, the high-carbon newspaper comes on the driveway. And I got it this morning, and I put 2 yellow tags on the old York Times. One is, Turk lawmakers... They're so PC, the Times. Not Turkey, not Turkish, but Turk lawmakers. They always look up the right way to say things to not be offensive. That they're experts on. Their IQ is very high on non-offense. Turk lawmakers grant authority for raids in Iraq. Why Turk? Well, because some of the lawmakers may not be Turkish. They could be Kurdish. You see? See how smart they are, the boys from NYU? You see how smart, how they use their intelligence? But they don't tell you it was Nancy Pelosi who forced the Turkish parliament, or shall I say the Turk parliament, both old and young Turks, to vote to invade northern Iraq to confront Kurdish rebels. It was Nancy Pelosi and her Democrats who actually provoked this. That they don't tell you. Next article that I noted was, this is a shocker. A shocker. U.S. concerned as Iraq awards power deals to Iran and China. I almost fell over when I read this. Those backstabbing SOBs in Iraq, they're the most miserable people on earth are the Iraqis. They are the most backstabbing group of SOBs on the entire planet. These rats, we've spent, what, trillions of dollars liberating them from Saddam, and now when they have a little oil flowing and they have money, they're going to award the construction of power plants to Iran and China? Those backstabbing vermin. I wouldn't let them do it. But why should we permit them to do it? What, are you kidding me? What kind of government do we have? They take our money to liberate those ingrates in filthy nightshirts who continue to kill each other's women and children outside mosques. And then to add insult to injury, where they're about to build power plants they awarded to Iran and China, the construction contracts. This never would have happened in World War II. After Germany was devastated and during Reconstruction, I doubt very much that contracts would have been awarded to anyone other than General Electric, General Motors, etc. Since our nation had been depleted in fighting World War II, you would figure that perhaps we want to refill the coffers in some manner. But this, again, is an example of the lack of leadership in the administration. I have to tell you that. Who else do you blame for this? How could you blame anyone but George Bush for this? How could you blame anybody but Bush for this? U.S. concerned as Iraq awards power deals to Iran and China. How could they do this? How could you permit Iranians to come and build power plants in Iraq? How could you do this unless you're an absolute idiot and totally out of control? So then that's at 3 in the morning. You see what bothers me? No wonder I sleep so much. You wake up to this kind of news, it's no wonder that I dream in Technicolor. Putin attacks U.S. foreign policy, announces new nuclear weapon. This is getting ugly. This is getting ugly. He says that they're building a new nuclear submarine, Russia. You hear this? And he said we have grandiose plans and they are absolutely realistic. And he said we are going to develop a new generation nuclear weapon that will stun the world. We haven't heard anything from the Federation of Concerned Atomic Scientists. They're suddenly silent when their good friend in Russia is talking about building a new generation of nuclear weapons. They only have big yaps on them when it comes to the American military having a nuclear weapon. But if Russia, oh, they're entitled to it. Federation of Concerned Scientists, all fellow traveler communist wobblies, all of them. All raised in Brooklyn, Bronx, Manhattan, over oilcloth by ILGWU parents who taught them to hate the country and to spit on the ground every time they left the apartment, in my opinion. How come they have nothing to say about Putin saying he's going to develop a new generation of nuclear weapon? How can he say, when he said that Russia will build another nuclear submarine, we didn't hear any of these anti-nuke lefties go crazy in America. He says that they're also planning a completely new atomic weapon. How come they didn't get excited over that and say that it's 1 minute to midnight? Those morons. Commies, that's what they are, 100%. Boy, do we need a nationalistic government? Wow, I don't see how we're going to survive. Anyways, I made one new point that you never heard before. Newspapers are high-carbon deliveries, which is very funny, actually, when you think about it. You could now throw this in the face of your newspaper-reading friends. That Savage said that the paper you're reading is a high-carbon vehicle. Tell that to Phil Bronstein. All of these guys who are in the newspaper business, when you think about it, they're all, oh, they're so liberal. They're all, oh, yeah, global warming. They walk around like high priests of global warming with a sanctimoniousness that you need a clothespin on your nose to prevent the stench from entering your being. Oh, yeah, they're the high priests of global warming and everything else politically correct. And how do they deliver these ideas? Through the most high-carbon form of communication that there is. Newspapers in a driveway or at a newsstand delivered by a gas-stenching, a fume-stenching truck. See, it takes Savage to figure these things out. I mean, you say, well, maybe that's a mark of intelligence. I would agree with you. I'll be right back. Savage. At the end of the day, I mean, there are different sorts of intelligence, and gauging it is very difficult. But there are standards. Do I have to tell you that? I mean, if we eliminate all standards as the libs have tried to do, we wind up with a society incapable of supporting itself. And so therefore we need to produce scientists and engineers. And in science and engineering, there are very strict tests that kids have to pass in order to qualify to get into the best mathematics departments, the best engineering departments, and you can't fake it. When it comes to the law, for example, you can push a kid into law school. But as you well know, the bar exam is not going to be bent for anybody. They're not going to bend the bar just because you want to pass the bar. So we have the case of minority kids being ushered into the best law schools who can't pass the bar. Their attrition rate is horrible. And that's where political correctness meets reality. And now who are you serving by taking kids who can't make the grade, pushing them into law schools that they can't keep up, in which they can't keep up, or where they can't keep up? And then when they hit the bar exam, they can't pass it. What's next? They're going to say the bar exam is racist. That's what's coming next. So now lower the bar until you have a nation of illiterate lawyers. KNEW, Mark, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Mike. I just wanted to mention, I had to laugh when you talked about the newspaper delivery. And if you've seen them around, they load the cars up to the rim, and usually old running piece of junk cars. And
They're poor immigrants. You know, you have to have pity for them. I mean, who's going to take a job 3 a.m. running around delivering a newspaper? But my point is that that delivery is a high carbon vehicle, meaning not only the car, but the newsprint itself. Is a pretty keen insight, don't you think?
Yes, I do, actually. And I wanted to mention, I used to...
Well, wait, now we're going to run a contest. Whoever first hears Rush Limbaugh steal this idea wins a free copy of my DVD. Whoever actually hears Rush take it as his own first wins a copy of the DVD. Thanks for that call. San Diego, Robert, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
It's an enormous pleasure, sir. With the topic that you're discussing, the reality of what you're saying is so important. I grew up in Chicago. I am a Gentile/Christian, and I went to school, and some of my best homies are Ashkenazi Jews. And the reality of what you're saying, sir, is that when it comes to math, the hard sciences, augmented by good looks and the arts, the Ashkenazi Jews have it all, sir.
Oh, my God. Are you married to a woman of Jewish descent?
Well, some of my best experiences in love have been with Ashkenazi Jews.
Well, you see, you're still looking for the right woman, Robert.
I am, sir.
All right. Well, thank you. I'm not going to comment on this. I'm going to stay out of that one. When it comes to love, I have no advice whatsoever. None whatsoever. So Hillary's mystery money man, hip-hop culture hurting NFL, nudity, Coppola charges. Yeah, I heard that, Coppola. Boy, he sounded like a nasty old woman. Coppola, he attacks his old buddy Al Pacino, Robert De Niro, and Jack Nicholson. He's upset because De Niro set up his own film studio. That I can tell you right now. And he's probably upset that he can't afford Jack Nicholson and Al Pacino anymore. He's sounding like an old grandmother. The guy's got nothing but money himself. What, he can't let the other guys win too? What's this with Coppola's surprising menopause? What is this? Why do you think he's angry at them? This thing, Coppola chides 3 Oscar-winning actors. He says they're lazy. They don't. They live off the fat of the land. He says De Niro's wealthy and powerful. I don't know what that's all about. I have no idea where that came from. But he sounds like he's got menopause all of a sudden. I don't. I mean, what are you going to say about that one? Nothing. 1-800-449-8255. KNEW, San Francisco. Mindy, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Watson and Crick stole the double helix plans from Rosalind Franklin. And
I was going to bring that up. He himself is controversial because she was an X-ray crystallographer who first showed pictures of the DNA helix. Isn't that correct?
That's correct. They knew that she was working on it, and they knew that when they won the Nobel Prize and did not extend the award, the credit to her, and the fact that she is an Ashkenazi Jewish woman, perhaps that his remarks are to atone for his guilt and not giving her credit. The British treated her very badly and excluded her from a lot of things. She was dying of cancer and was making her way into the laboratory every day, and they made fun of her even as they stole her plants. So I hope one day he'll be big enough to extend the credit to her.
Mindy, you're one of the few Americans, you know, one out of probably 10 million who know about Rosalind Franklin and her contributions to the Crick and Watson model, which included an X-ray photograph of BDNA called Photograph 51. And she showed those to James Watson, actually through Maurice Wilkins. I don't know if you know about that.
I didn't know that she showed it to him. I knew that they went into her laboratory without her knowledge and took the X-rays.
Well, there's a whole story on this, but you're 100% right. I remember learning this when I was a young kid at Queens College about her work in X-ray crystallography. And she showed images of the DNA, which then formed the snapshot of Watson and Crick's hypothesis of the double helical structure of DNA. So, you know, Watson himself has a lot to apologize for, is what you're saying.
And I wonder if his complimentary remarks about Ashkenazi Jews were his backhanded way of acknowledging credit for ideas that he misappropriated.
You may be right. Maybe he's jealous that some black guy gave him some knowledge, too. Who knows? You don't know people's motivations.
Savage.
This president I have a lot of problems with, but in terms of Tibet and HIV/AIDS, you know, he's done extraordinary things.
And you were,
but I must say that not only the speakers were of one mind and of one heart.
That's Richard Gere. Doesn't like President Bush, but he likes what he's done on Tibet and HIV/AIDS. Well, we won't do the gerbil goat. The gerbil goats. We will not do the gerbil goats. What has he got to do with Tibet, Richard Gere? What in the world is his thing with Tibet? What is it with these people? Then we have, this is the most astonishing. Here's the bagel, Barbara Boxer. That's for identification purposes only. Reacting to President Bush's comments on Iran obtaining nuclear technology. This is a scream. Listen to 08.
He continues to dial up the fear factor instead of reaching to bring this world together, to work together, to make sure that we can avoid World War III or any other war for that matter, and end the war we're in that we can't get out of. It is a stunning thing. It's why he's 21% in the polls in California.
Let's stop right there. And what are you at the polls in California? 9%. Bush is 24% nationally, and the Congress is 11%. If you separated out Boxer, she'd be 1% or 2% nationally, and probably 9% statewide. It's stunning how they get away with this. And the answer is because we have a government media complex that lets these yentas shoot their mouths off, and there's nobody in the media to stop them and say, hey, wait a minute, Boxer, that's a scream. Your ratings are lower than his. That would be journalism, to step up there and say, now, wait a minute, hold it there. He may be 21%, but Congress is lower. Boxer, what do you say about that? That's why you have to tune into talk radio. That's why they want to shut us down. They want to live in a Soviet Union, which they call the New World Order. What else do I have you? This thing with Staphylococcus. I've never seen anything like this. The brainwashing. How they won't tell you to do anything except wash your hands. That's what we give them billions of dollars for at the CDC. Wash your hands. You hear this? That's like when AIDS was spreading wildly in America. The best they could do was tell you to use a condom, not to avoid sex with strangers. You know? So, Houston, Texas, Adi, A-D-A-D-I, you're on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, big fan, what a show. You are rocking tonight. I wanted to tell you that you actually made me do something I've never done before, and that is that I sent out an email to the Turkish embassy in Washington, D.C., voicing my concern and, to say it politically correct, my disappointment at what the Speaker of the House and the Democratic Party did. Took a day,
yes.
They answered me back, a very politically correct answer, but just wanted you to know that we are doing our part.
Well, it is, you know, this act by Nancy Pelosi and Lantos is an act that shall live in infamy, what they did. I don't think they did it, by the way, unknowingly, and I'm going to go to the step that I want to go to. I actually believe that there's a more nefarious reason for them to have provoked Turkey into this potential act of war in northern Iraq. And that is because Bush was gaining a little traction in Iraq. You'll notice the violence was down. Every report coming out of Iraq was that there was more stability in Iraq. The Democrats' worst nightmare is that peace should reign in Iraq by October 2008. They are in the business of needing a disaster in Iraq in October 2008. Because if there is peace in Iraq, why, then it turns out Bush may not have been wrong all along. It may be right. And there will be a Republican swept into the White House, not Hillary Clinton. Now, I know something about politics, and I would believe that the Democrats would not stop at provoking another front in the war in order to undermine our troops and to cause violence. Do you think that's a viable theory or not?
I think so, but what I can't believe for myself as a human being, as an American, is that they actually don't have the interest of the country first. I can't digest that.
Well, they say George Bush led us into a war that was unjust. We could also say that they're leading, opening up a new front in the war that is also unjust. How come nobody, how come no journalist said that to Nancy Pelosi or to the great Tom Lantos, the professional victim? Thank you, sir. I appreciate the call. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. Let's go to Grand Rapids. Ginger on WOOD. You're on the Savage Nation topic, please.
Uncle Mike, I need your advice.
Here's my
advice I'm asking for you for. What do I know many people call you a racist, and I have a friend in Boston who I've talked about language, culture, borders, and let's seal the fence. Let's kick out the illegal aliens. He's calling me a frickin' racist. Can you help me?
He's saying he's for borders, language, and culture, but he's calling you a racist?
No, I'm for borders, language, culture. Mm-hmm. He went to George Washington University. I went to Harvard. And my eyes woke up when I moved back to Michigan.
All right, so he's in favor of no America, no borders, no language, and no culture?
Right, right. He thinks...
Well, I have a few words for him that I can't repeat on the radio, but they're worse than the word racist, which has no meaning whatsoever. The word racist has been so overused it has no meaning. You know what I'm saying? It's a big deal. They call you a racist. What does that mean? Well, what does that make him if the man wants his own nation dissolved? What does that make him if he wants Mexico to invade America? What does that make him if he wants the English language to be diminished to the point where it's a secondary language in his own country? What does it make him if he doesn't even understand the culture of his own nation? The answers to those questions, my friend, since you went to Harvard, you can look up in a dictionary. Thank you for the call. I'm not going to reduce them to a single word, you know. Atlanta, Georgia. Samantha, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I want you to continue your dialogue about children and health care. Young black kids' hair, the styles, the braids and hanging things off their heads before their heads close at 5 years old. That's one angle right there. The second thing is...
Wow. I never thought of that. You're saying it constricts the development of the brain?
I have even called CDC. I have called Emory. I have begged people to listen to me because I have said...
Wait, you know, I never heard this before. I'm a social anthropologist, but I never... So you're saying this tight braiding is a custom that may, in fact, impede the development of the brain?
Well, let's think about it, because I saw that on television. I'm certainly not in the medical field in that area anyway. But when a child is small, his head doesn't close until he's 5 years old. I used to keep the children, the 2 and 3 year olds, in my church, and even some of the white kids would come in with these bands around their head, and I would just jerk them off. And the black babies, you couldn't do anything. God forbid you ever took those braids out of their heads, but they've got weights on their heads when they are 6 months old.
Now, are you African American?
I am African American.
And I can't think that your theory would be very popular in your own community.
Well, whether it's popular or not, we're talking about children and health care. I don't think they
need. I know, but you know, you got to be very careful when you talk about things like this, because my dear madam, you are raising a serious question, but it may have cultural implications that may make some people uncomfortable.
They'd rather their
child feel culturally relevant rather than have their brains develop.
I don't think so. I think they just don't know the impact that has on the child. Okay, split your hair in the middle, and then 2 hours later, see how you feel. Your blood pressure is going to be sky high.
You know, I mean, this is amazing. I never heard this story before, Samantha, but, you know, it's something worth thinking about. Black kids and health care as it relates to hairstyles.
As it relates to hairstyles.
Do you think that explains why... possibly why Ann Coulter developed into a racist? Is it because of the hair extensions that she wore as a youth?
Possibly. No, you know, and I said, I called you the other night and told you that she would be apologizing too for that. And she will.
She changed her pitch all of a sudden. She changed the whole tune when she went on a Wallbanger show. The same Wallbanger who had Giuliani on and didn't disclose that he was a fundraiser for him. What an embarrassment. Did you hear that story, Samantha?
No, I didn't.
Hannity the Wallbanger. I mean, he's a nice guy. I have nothing against him, but you know what's fair is fair. He has Giuliani on his show over and over and over again, and it turns out that he was the lead-in at a fundraiser for Giuliani in Cincinnati. Now, that's all well and good, but that how do you explain that when a – let's put it the shoe on the other foot. If Katie Couric would support Hillary Clinton, which I'm sure she does, and then if she dared to appear at a fundraiser as a lead-in somewhere in America, do you think that the right wing would be all over Katie Couric?
Of course
they would. So, you know, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. If Hannity the Wallbanger is trying to get behind the fact that, no, I'm not a journalist, I'm a commentator. Well, first of all, he's using my line. That's what the lawyer for Fox News said. They stole it from me, but that's good enough. But, you know, that doesn't justify raising money for Giuliani, truthfully, and then getting the first interview with him. Thank you. I am proud to tell you I will not have an interview with Giuliani, nor Romney, nor McCain, nor any of the others who are running for office, which is to tell you I raised money for none of them. 1-800-449-8255, Kansas City, Clinton, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
I'm a sporadic listener to your show on occasion, and you seem like a well-read guy, and I guess maybe I just haven't listened enough, but I notice you always bash Dems, liberals, whatnot, and I've heard you on occasion dismiss Bush as a moron or whatnot, but I just wondered what your general take on Republican, you know, the senators, the House of Reps or whatnot, just the general Republican population. I mean, do you ever call them out as being just as anti-American and just as corporate as the liberals are, which I agree with you. They're all bought and sold, and I just wonder if you...
Well, you have to listen, Clint, in order to understand who I am, and I don't think you have the time to do so. As you say, you're a busy man, but I'm not going to repeat myself just to sell myself to one listener. But let me say this to you. Several Republicans have gone to prison for corruption, including a great war hero, a Vietnam ace, who I admire greatly for his heroics as a pilot. Duke Cunningham. He was punished way beyond his crime, having been given 9 years in prison. It was the most vindictive sentence I've ever seen, and it should be reviewed and reduced, by the way. That's a separate story. But right now, we have Democrats who have so far exceeded his corruption by tenfold, and they're not facing any kind of investigation. That is because the U.S. Attorney for San Diego, a Clinton appointee, went after Duke Cunningham. One, because he was a Republican, but more importantly, because he was a real war hero, and she wanted to destroy that heroic image in the minds of so many. That's the only way I can answer that question. There are many Democrats who deserve to be in orange jumpsuits right now. I don't think that answers your question, by the way. 1-800-449-8. We should, you know what I'd like to do? I just thought of a cause now. I've heard nothing about the Marines I raised money for. I hope that we'll hear that some of them are exonerated, like Chesani soon. Is exonerated. I would like to start a campaign to have Duke Cunningham's sentence reviewed and reduced in context of the corruption of the Democrat Party. If you look at the amount of money that has been taken in by Steny Hoyer and by Jack Murtha, and no one's accusing them of corruption, but the amount of money, the pork barrel spending, the earmarks, if you want to call them that, which is a polite way of saying pork barrel spending, that has flowed into their districts. Now, what are you telling me? Every dollar that went into their districts was spent honestly? You must be living in a comic book world if you believe that. Why don't they investigate those guys? I can guarantee you that what Duke Cunningham did is chicken feed compared to these guys. And in light of the corruption that's followed the election of the Democrats, who used Duke Cunningham, frankly, as a fall guy to get into power, I think that Duke Cunningham's sentence is too harsh. 9 years? That's outrageous compared to the service he gave this country. Why doesn't that matter? He should be let out of jail right now for time served. What do you think of that? I'll be back. Savage.
The Mexican national infected with an extremely contagious form of TB who has been in and out of this country reportedly some 76 times during the spring and also has taken many domestic flights. Do you have any knowledge about the risk that he has posed to people, or even how many people have possibly been exposed to him?
The individual that I believe you are mentioning is a person who has been under the close care of public health agencies in Texas and in Mexico. In this case, the patient is not deemed to pose a threat to the public's health. There's a difference between
right.
a patient who...
That's the spokesmouth for the CDC, the highly political Julie Gerberding, who did not answer the question. NBC's Meredith Vieira asked, do you have any knowledge of the risk he may have posed to people? And Gerberding, being the political animal that she is, says that he is not deemed to pose a threat right now. But she doesn't answer the question of how many people he may have exposed to TB, being the politician that she is, not the scientist that you assume she is. On MichaelSavage.com, we have some fun things for you today. We have a video of a runway model falling through a hole in a catwalk worth watching. A group of performers did some kind of act before she went on the catwalk, and one of the guys dropped an axe or something and caused the hole, and this poor girl comes out, this post-op transvestite lookalike, doesn't see the hole, bam, right through it. I feel bad for her. I mean, she's going to need a whole lot of snow tonight. Underneath it, we have another use for the multi-purpose burqa band that robs bank. That should make you multi-culti people feel good and warm inside that the burqa is being used for such a purpose. There's many other good stories you miss every day. What can I tell you? Some look at it, some don't. Dr. James Watson's Pearls of Wisdom. You want that for your collection. Congress demands TV case investigation. Yeah, right. Sure. You'll really get to the bottom of the truth with a congressional investigation. Oh, yeah, I'm positive on that one. Okay, what do you want to talk about in the waning moments of the Savage Nation's hour number two? The phone number again is 1-800-449-8255. There's stories every day. You could wake up. It takes a lot of strength to get through a day with what's going on in the world right now. We could play actor Richard Gere on the Dalai Lama's visit to Washington. Let me hear clip 12. Let's see what he says, Richard Gere.
See bipartisan support and the President of the United States being so, I thought, emotional and reaching down deep inside of themselves and speaking about the Dalai Lama the way we would want them to speak about ourselves as Americans.
Oh, my God. What did he just say? Reaching down deep within ourselves. Let's let that go, please. Let's just let that one go with the gerbils, and I don't want to get into this. What is his obsession with Tibet? I don't know what it is with Richard Gere in Tibet. I just don't understand it. How do they latch on to these causes, these Hollywood people? All right, he's not hurting anybody. He's not a bad guy. He didn't kill anybody. He didn't hurt anybody. He goes to Tibet. He puts on a red robe. He feels good. He says Om on a hill, and he must feel in tune with, I don't know what. Where did he grow up? Where did Richard Gere grow up? Does anyone know? San Diego, George, you're on the Savage Nation. Big topic. Go ahead, please.
Good evening, Doctor. During World War II, right after World War II, the Marshall Plan was established. And I worked on a project at that particular time whereby we were building a generating station in Greece, and mm-hmm. all of the equipment that was being furnished for that particular station came from Germany.
Germany?
Absolutely. And that was immediately after World War II.
So you don't see a problem with Iran and China building power plants in Iraq then?
Time, and I'm against the furnishing of stations by Iran and China without at least American participation from the engineering point of view. We got the Bechtels. We have people like that in this country who can do that.
Doesn't it strike you as odd that we would spend billions, hundreds of billions of dollars liberating the Iraqis and they wouldn't use an American company to build power plants?
It's not, as far as I'm concerned, I'm against it. However,
Why would we let them go to Iran, who is threatening us with a nuclear attack, threatening Israel with a nuclear attack, and pump money into their economy? Why should we permit this?
I agree with you. We shouldn't. We should.
That's it. What do I care what the Democrats will say? What, it's not right that we don't do it? The heck with them. No, we should not do it. We should not do it. Coming up in the next hour is something I know you're going to want to hear, but I don't know what it is because I haven't decided what it is yet. But we'll have a wonderful hour here on the Savage Nation. There's many other topics. We're not going to talk about Watson and genes. We're not going to talk about intelligence because too many of you out there get very sensitive when we talk about intelligence for obvious reasons. Be here or be nowhere. It's the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
You know, I said in the last hour I wasn't going to talk about Watson and his controversial comments about African intelligence, but guess what? I am going to talk about it. You know, we've been talking about immigrants and epidemics in the Savage Nation, but I want to go back to the curious case of Dr. James Watson, the man who discovered the double helix structure of DNA. He is a giant in the scientific community. He is also a white male, and as a white male, he is attacked at every opportunity by the liberal media. Let's listen to him talk about his discovery.
We proposed a very plausible idea that DNA, you copy the information by separating the two strands. And it took 5 years for a clever experiment to show the two strands did separate. So when the strands separated, people said, who didn't want to believe it, gave up and said, yeah, that's right.
James Watson, a Nobel Prize winner for his part in the unraveling of DNA, who now runs one of America's leading scientific research institutions, drew widespread condemnation for comments he made ahead of his arrival in Britain today for a speaking tour, including the Science Museum in London. The 79-year-old geneticist reopened the explosive debate about race and science in a newspaper interview in which he said Western policies towards African countries were wrongly based on an assumption that black people were as clever as their white counterparts when testing suggested the contrary. He claimed genes responsible for creating differences in human intelligence could be found within a decade. Now, what has happened as a result of this is the newly formed Equality and Human Rights Commission. Equality. Now, we mean forced equality. You understand what that is, don't you? Said it was studying Dr. Watson's remarks in full. Dr. Watson told the Sunday Times that he was inherently gloomy about the prospect of Africa because, quote, all our social policies are based on the fact that their intelligence is the same as ours, whereas all the testing says not really. He said there was a natural desire that all human beings should be equal, but, quote, people who have to deal with black employees find this is not true, close quote. Again, that's him. He has a book published next week in which he writes, there is no firm reason to anticipate that the intellectual capacities of peoples geographically separated in their evolution should prove to have evolved identically. Our wanting to reserve equal powers of reason as some universal heritage of humanity will not be enough to make it so, close quote. Now, he has arrived in Britain on a speaking tour to publicize his latest book, Avoid Boring People, Lessons from a Life in Science. So there it is. There it is. American scientist, as you well know, was working in the University of Cambridge in the 1950s. He formed part of the team which discovered the structure of DNA. He shared the 1962 Nobel Prize for Medicine with his British colleague, Francis Crick, a New Zealand-born Maurice Wilkins. This is when the Nobel Prize was sort of apolitical. Apolitical. There it is. You want to talk about that? Go ahead and talk about it. 1-800-449-8255. Truthfully, the big story for me is not Watson's statements, although it's an interesting theory that he proposes. It's where are the staph infections coming from? So I thought that I would use my training in epidemiology. I am a PhD, earned PhD, in epidemiology and human nutrition from the University of California at Berkeley in 1978. Thank you. So if you don't mind, I'm going to read you a paragraph I posted on michaelsavage.com. And it's quite simple, not stupid, but simple, and elegant, and concise, which is the mark of intelligent writing. When you see pages and pages, you know the person doesn't know what they're talking about. When you see a pretty elegant, short statement, you can analyze it and test it for its truth. In fact, the mark of science, of scientific statement, is can it be tested and proven, can it be potentially proven wrong? That's the test of a scientific statement. Can it be potentially proven wrong? Okay? So I ask the question, where are the staph infections coming from? Here is my theory. We are told this is a new strain of staph, but the good doctors are either ignorant of epidemiology or afraid to tell you the truth. Let us reason together. New drug-resistant strains of bacteria are appearing in our hospitals over the past 10 years. Some are the result of overuse of antibiotics, but others are being brought into emergency rooms by the millions of illegal aliens who use our hospitals for primary care. Doctors, nurses, and others then spread these germs throughout the hospital. And of course, when illegals visit their relatives in the wards, they also spread the gift that keeps on giving, drug-resistant staph infections. This is my own theory. I have an earned PhD in epidemiology and human nutrition from the University of California at Berkeley, 1978, signed Michael Savage. Now, what you have to do is test the theory. It won't be tested for one reason. You can't get funding to test such a theory. Because to get such funding, you have to go to the very same people who are claiming to be ignorant of the cause of these drug-resistant staph infections. Therefore, we're living in medieval times all over again. The West is so paralyzed that we're moving backwards in terms of science rather than forwards. We have a soundbite from one of the CDC mean-faced, clipped-haired women who now run the entire agency, who tell us nothing that we need to know about staph infections other than wash your hands. I couldn't believe it. I am listening to trained doctors saying that the best thing you could do is wash your hands. It's like we've evolved back to the 17th century. We're in the pre-Lister phase of medicine in the United States of America because the doctors either don't know any better or they're politically hampered in what they know to be true and can't say it. You understand what I'm saying to you? These organisms are endemic in Mexico, which is a filthy country. Mexico is a filthy toilet bowl of a nation, which is why every time Americans go there and eat a salad, they come back with turista. You want me to be blunt with you? I'll be blunt with you. It's a show for adults. I don't have to put roses around my words. That is why even liberals from the Upper East Side of New York who love and embrace diversity get turista when they go to Mexico. You see, bacteria do not discriminate. They don't say, well, she's a good liberal from the Upper West Side of Manhattan. I'm not going to infect her bowel. I will only give it to the evil conservative. See, the bacteria is quite democratic when you think about it, as are the viruses that the immigrants are bringing in. And they do affect liberals as well, even those in Austin, Texas, San Francisco, and the Upper East Side of New York, by the way. So there it is. There's the story. Let's take a caller or two right now in the Savage Nation. Mark, Los Angeles, 830 on the dial. Go ahead, please. What's on your mind?
What I want to know, Mike, is did the methodology that you used in your study of plant life and organisms, and i.e. your breaking down of looking at the parts to understand the whole and the organization of the, of those areas, is that what led to your thinking that you used in looking at the political landscape, or was it the other way around?
That's a great question. Which came first, the politics or the egg? I don't have an answer to that. I do know that I've always been curious as to how things worked. In fact, I'm having memories as I get older of my childhood, and I remember taking things apart. Sometimes I couldn't put them back together again, and I get yelled at. I always took watches apart, toy train. I took all my toys apart and couldn't put them together sometimes because I knew how to take them apart. I was very careful in unscrewing them, but I couldn't remember where all the parts went. So I always had a desire to get to the bottom of things. I would say, though, that deductive and inductive reasoning, that is Aristotelian logic, as I was forced to learn in my early years of scientific reasoning, does have a great role to play in political analysis. and the conclusions are strictly my own. However, if I come to a conclusion in a political discussion, I don't know that you can potentially disprove what I said in a scientific experiment. Whereas, as I said to you earlier, I once asked a professor of mine, what is a scientific statement? And he said a scientific statement is a statement that can be potentially disproven, meaning you can put it forward as a theory and as a theorem. You develop experiments to prove it, disprove it. You see what I'm saying? And find out whether it's true or false. The problem is, in politics, it's almost impossible to construct an experiment to prove or disprove a theory. So if I propose the theory based upon evidence that I've seen that liberalism is a mental disorder, beginning with what's happened to the Centers for Disease Control, beginning with the fact that we have outbreaks of diseases that were once wiped out in the United States of America, and I tell you it's related to the large influx, millions of illegal aliens, it makes common sense to me that it's a theory worth testing. However, in order to do such a grand experiment, you need money to test it, to do such an epidemiological study, and the government controls the purse strings to such a study. The CDC is the most politicized branch of the U.S. government. It's owned mainly by the AIDS racketeers, and there's not a chance in Hades of getting a dime for that kind of study. So I don't know if I've answered your question, but I've tried the best I can. Now, I hope I don't take apart too many questions today without putting them back together again. But Humpty will be right back, right here on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Am I the only man left in the media with a brain and the guts to say what needs to be said? I tell you the truth, I am really worried. You think this is all theatrics. You liberals think it's a damn joke, don't you? It is not a joke anymore. You've killed America. You've made the government incompetent. It can't function. They know, hey, look, they're no dummies. They didn't get to the top of the pinnacle where they are by being stupid. They know who the enemy is. They know where they are, but they're afraid to touch him. Because you'll be the first to scream like the rats and mice that you are. Racial profiling! So what do you want me to do? I know where it's at. We no longer have the best and brightest. Sometimes I say we don't have the best and brightest anymore. We have the worst and whitest in power. It's no longer the best and the brightest. It's the worst and the whitest. You want me to tell you how to solve this problem? I'll lay it out for you, Jack. I've said it before, but you're not going to believe what I'm about to tell you. You're not going to believe what Michael said, what's going to come out of my lips now. No one's going to believe what I'm going to tell you. But I've said it before. It went over the airwaves. It went out like a bullet. Nobody heard it. We have fraternity boys running the country. We have elite fraternity boys who have never faced the real world. They have been protected like princes from childhood right to where they are today. I go into the worst gangs in America. I would get the baddest blacks, the baddest whites, the baddest Hispanics, the baddest Asians, and I'd bring them into a cabinet. And I say, look, boys, here's what we're doing. We're at war. What would you do to solve this problem? I can guarantee you that they could solve that problem much faster than the frat boys. That's what I say. What do you say? What do you say? It's not, you haven't heard this anywhere before? Doesn't make sense? Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. It's been done before. It was done in World War II. You see, the government of elitists at the time knew there was a problem on the waterfronts of America. They knew that the Germans had their Gestapo spies all over the waterfronts of the East Coast and the West Coast. And they knew who controlled the waterfront. And they didn't hire a smart idiot from Harvard or Yale. They went to Lucky Luciano, and they cut a deal with the mafia. And the mafia made sure that the Gestapo didn't function on the waterfront because they wound up with a meat hook in their back and they were swimming with the fishes. And that was the end of the Gestapo on the waterfront, 99%. So it has been done before. I didn't invent this. It's got to be done now or we're cooked. Stop with the frat boy talk. Stop with the frat boy solutions. Stop with the academic ease. These people are frightening me. What would you say would be the solution? I tell you what, I gave you one solution. I gave you brass tacks. Took a big risk, brass tacks. Solution one, go to the baddest Americans, bring them into the seats of power, and ask them what they would do. Don't even tell the people you did it. That's all. Maybe they've done it already for all I know. If I could figure it out, maybe they could figure it out. Ask them how they'd solve the problem. After all, they have businesses too. What do you think? They want to live in a world that's destroyed by the Taliban mentality? There'd be no crime. They wouldn't be able to make a buck. So believe me, they're the best capitalists you could ever imagine. That's right. Gangsters are very good capitalists. They love a capitalist system. They hate socialism. They hate terrorism. It's bad for business. Go to them. End the story. And if they're listening to me, you know I'm right. So you know that I'm right, but I'm not running garbage. I'm one guy on the radio, man, all alone, just twisting in the wind here. No, nothing. No dinners, no phone calls, no emails. You know what I'm saying? I come from another world. They don't want to know me. I don't want to know them. But the fact of the matter is, even an average man can figure this one out. You don't have to be a talk show host to figure it out. I figured it out. Bay Area, Uri, you're on the Savage Nation.
Let me say that I am old enough to have known the very thing you're talking about. We beat the most evil axis that ever existed. Nazi Germany, dictator Italy, and Imperial Japan and all their satellites. So I would make a model that copied what they did. First of all, even then, in those days, we had an Office of Civil Defense. We had the captains on the block that told us when, how, and why. We were issued sandboxes. We were told that they would tell our schools how to evacuate. We had some sense, not of foreboding, but some sense of what would be if necessary. We infiltrated their spy networks. We supported their partisan efforts. We broke their codes and created some of our own. And then the bottom line, if you take that to modern day thinking, and that's what I say, follow the mode. We know for sure, at least unless our government's lying, there are 63 nations harboring Al-Qaeda. Those are the nations I would first target to let them know the following. If Al-Qaeda is there and you don't get rid of them, we declare you persona non grata and you're out of our country. In the meantime, recruit from malcontents of the Arab-speaking world, and there are many of them, for we trained every one of their pilots.
Now, I would go on a little faster track. I'd let it be known to terrorist leaders that if they don't stop this in our country before it starts, we're going to nuke their capitals. We're going to knock them off the planet. I can guarantee you they can stop it faster than we can. It's all about liberalism destroying America. I'm sorry, it all comes back. The federal government is paralyzed right now. It cannot become proactive. And that's why they're talking around. If you heard the speech last week, it said, we want you to be vigilant. We want you to be knowledgeable. But we want you to remain an American. Now, what does that code word mean? Don't you dare ever say anything against an ethnic group. Watch out. You say anything about a person of cover, and the FBI will get you. Oh, that they can do. Now, yeah, that they'll be at your door. Knock, knock, who's there? Oh, you said something about persons of cover. Come with us. Take an overnight bed. Tainted man crossed the border 76 times, flew on our airplanes, according to Customs and Border Protection interviews and documents obtained by the Washington Times. Audrey Hudson is the co-author of this article. Just went up on Drudge Report, michaelsavage.com. Here she is, Audrey. What a story this is. Tell us the whole story.
It's a matriarchal nation.
Stop it.
It is. It's a matriarchal nation. We broke it on our website about an hour ago. This fantastic investigative reporter we hired a few months ago, Sarah Carter, who I am the co-author, she's the author of this piece, obtained documentation that showed that there was a Mexican national man who has crossed our border since August of last year up until June 76 times and flew on multiple domestic flights, and no one was warned.
Well, your article says the Customs and Border Protection Agency was warned by health officials on April 16th that the frequent traveler from Mexico was infected, but it took the Homeland Security officials 6 weeks to issue a May 31 alert. What was the delay all about?
They say the delay in issuing the BOLO was that they weren't getting, I know you're going to find this hard to believe, they weren't getting the correct information from the Mexican authorities.
Oh, my God. So, in other words, they took the Mexican authorities word or lack of word above that of health officials? And this is all political, isn't it, Audrey?
This is, I believe, this is a cover-up.
A cover-up?
Took them.
All right, so this multiple drug-resistant TB strain was the same dangerous strain of TB that concerned health officials when Andrew Speaker, the 31-year-old Atlanta lawyer, slipped into the U.S. from Europe via flight from Canada. Is that correct?
That's the same one.
Okay. That's what the is the risk to the passengers who were in contact with Amado Isidro Amandares Amaya? What a name. Amado Isidro Amandares Amaya made the trip across the U.S. border, the last one on May 21, where he applied for an I-94 visa? Unbelievable.
Actually, while they were trying to, they didn't get the bolo out. He'd come back into the country to get a visa, and then when they did issue the bolo, now this is just to the border inspectors on May 31st. It took another week before they informed TSA, and a no-fly edict was issued. But now we do have, in the story that's coming out tomorrow in full, we just have a preview that's posted on our website tonight, which Drudge seized on immediately, but it's on WashingtonTimes.com. There's actually kind of a conflict between what CDC says and what the World Health Organization says and what other physicians say about how important it would be to inform passengers that they were exposed to us. Apparently, the rule of thumb in the U.S. is if you haven't been exposed to someone for more than 8 hours, then they're not going to notify you. But, Michael, I can fly from here to L.A. in 5.5 hours. I don't believe I can be in London in less than 8 hours.
A physician with the CDC – wait, I'm going to read your article. It says a physician with the CDC says that they usually only notify flights that are 8 hours or longer that passengers could have potentially been infected. Are they insane? Would you want to be in a closed aircraft for 8 hours with somebody infected with drug-resistant tuberculosis? I wouldn't.
Well, of course not, especially if you have a lowered immune system. But, I mean, if you look at – this guy was
– But, Audrey, you and I both know why the CDC says this. The CDC, when I was a graduate student, was a sterling organization. It was penetrated by AIDS racketeers. You don't have to agree with me. I know you're in a more sensitive position than I am. And they don't want any disease to be categorized as dangerous because it's liable to trigger people into fearing flying with some of their buddies who have HIV infections. I know what this is all about. It is not politics. It's not medicine anymore. It's politics.
Well, I was actually listening to you coming home and where you were seizing on the story of the day, which was the staff infections that they were all going that they're all going crazy about. And I was listening to you talk about the politics of the CDC. Now, I don't cover medical issues, and so it was eye opening for me to hear what you had to say about it. I wish I'd actually heard your show.
Oh well, I actually should do an expose on what the CDC has become. It's a disgrace. It's a national disgrace. But this TB-tainted man crossing the border 76 times and took multiple domestic flights, isn't our government going to be worried about people who are exposed to this guy?
Well, the main question I had and the reason I was brought in on the article was, were the airlines told? Was there any effort to find out how many flights he was on? We only know about three. And, Michael, the only reason we know about these three flights is when they finally caught up to him, they had the flight tickets, the receipts, you know, that you tear off the ticket. They had he had these three on him. That's the only reason they know about these flights.
Is the infected man Amado Isidro Amandares Amaya now? Does anyone know where he is?
He is. We are told he is in Mexico.
Oh, he's not teaching at the Kennedy School of Government. That's one plus.
He's supposedly still in Mexico and is not allowed back in the United States.
Come on. The man could walk into the United States anytime he wants.
I mean, he was crossing legally. We have, and tomorrow we'll have a graphic in the newspaper that shows all the border crossings. He came over 76 times since August. It's more than one. It's like a dozen different borders he crossed over legally.
According to your article, okay, let's start again. Customs and Border. Warned by health officials on April 16th that the frequent traveler was infected with this strain of TB. It takes Homeland Security 6 weeks to issue a May 31 alert to warn its own border inspectors, according to Homeland Security sources, who spoke on condition of anonymity for fear of retribution. Then, wait, Homeland Security takes one more week to tell its own TSA. Why is Homeland Security doing this? My opinion, politics. They don't want to trigger any thought that immigrants might be carrying diseases. Audrey, it's plain and simple. It's all politics now.
You have
suddenly gone silent because you are in the journalistic professions and I am not. I am merely a commentator.
That's what I said. I said, keep going.
Audrey, I love it. Tell us more about this story, Audrey. Anything else coming out in the Washington Times tomorrow?
It's a long story that's coming out tomorrow. Sarah and I spent a couple of days really burning the phone lines, trying to get Homeland to account for this, different agencies within Homeland, trying to get the airlines to tell us what they knew and when they knew it or if they knew anything. And it looks like all of this was what they hoped, I think. They hoped to keep it in El Paso. And when you read the article, you'll see that there's a lot of brave people that are risking their jobs to come forward and tell their story because they were basically told, if this ever gets outside of this room, everyone in this room is fired.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's like a fascist dictatorship. So, in other words, you learn this by talking to Homeland Security workers who have more of a patriotic spirit than the bums who run the agency. They're more concerned with their own careers than they are with protecting America. So what does that tell us about somebody who might be carrying nuclear material across the border? Would it take them 6 weeks to cover that up too?
Well, the good news is that, you know, the employees who contacted us did have a conscience and couldn't live with it anymore and basically said, if we lose our jobs, we lose our jobs. But the
Wait a minute. Shouldn't the head of Homeland Security be fired over this? I mean, how many outrages do there have to be? Yeah, no comment. I know you can't say these things. You're a journalist. I'm a commentator, so I can ask the hard questions. Audrey, you are the Homeland Security. You write for Homeland Security issues, correct?
That is correct.
All right. So this is your beat, in other words. You know a lot about Homeland Security. What can you tell us about the Department of Homeland Security? Is it as politicized as many of us fear it is?
Yeah, of course it is.
Okay. Is it useful? Does it do a good job in any way?
Now, that's a loaded question. Which agency? I think they strive to. I mean, obviously they strive to. But I think where they hit a brick wall, where I've seen them hit a brick wall over and over again, is when they mess up. And they mess up and they try and do a cover-up. And as per usual in Washington, it's the cover-up that kills them. And it seems like they never wanted this little story to leave El Paso.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they took a week before they even let TSA know.
Well, if I remember correctly, a man by the name of Scooter Libby spent a lot of money and a lot of time defending himself because he told one little lie to an interrogator. I think this is an awful lot bigger than one little lie. Maybe the head of Homeland Security or the person who did this ought to be deposed before a congressional committee. This is worthy of a congressional investigation, Audrey. I would think so. It's certainly bigger than the trivia that they seem to attack each other over.
And you know what? That you're right. That's the question I'm going to be asking tomorrow. I'm going to be looking up on the Hill and saying, what do you guys have to say about this?
Yeah, I guarantee you that Waxman, won't run a committee hearing on this. Instead, he'll run a committee hearing on talk radio. TB-tainted man crosses border 76 times, flies on our airlines over here, foot-dragging in Homeland Security. It takes them 6 weeks to alert its own border inspectors, and then it takes another week to tell its own Transportation Security Agency. But that doesn't stop the TSA from stripping nuns bare in their wheelchairs, does it?
You're so bad.
Audrey Hudson, thank you for being a real great journalist in a time when we really need journalism more than ever before. It's the Savage Nation. That's Audrey Hudson from the Washington Times. You heard it first here on the Savage Nation. There's a brave lady who's not afraid to come on the show, unlike Giuliani or Romney or any of the others who would be president. I'll be right back.
Savage.
This is history repeating itself. There are theories as to why the Aztec people were wiped out, one of which is as a result of infections brought in by European conquistadors. It seems to me that this is history being repeated sort of in reverse, where those conquered by the conquistadores are now going to infect us and wipe us out. The people know this intuitively, which is why the states are trying to do what the pimps in the federal government won't do. Then I use that phrase not for shock value, but because there's no other word for a federal government that continues to abuse the American people in such a dramatic manner. They are overrunning us. They are destroying our schools like locusts. They're destroying our hospitals. They're bringing in diseases. 30% of all prisoners are illegal aliens, which is a fact that's conveniently forgotten in any discussion. They're killing us. Now, we know that many of them worked very hard. We understand that. But the price we're paying is awesome, overwhelming. And for a federal government to permit staphylococcus, tuberculosis, and other diseases to be brought into a country is a mark of criminality. There's no other word for it, but I'm not shocked. It's the same federal government that wants to sell sensitive technology to the communist Chinese government for a dollar. That's another. I mean, it's interrelated. When you have no conscience and no one minding the store, what you wind up with is a president with the lowest ratings in history, 24%. But wait, a Congress with an 11% approval rating. It's as though this country has been taken over by a group of gangsters who are separated from the people only by a police force and a military. The people hate them. The people have no respect for any of them, nor any respect for any of the would-be presidents, because they know they're all part and parcel of the same puzzle. And where does it end? When you see people who have children and grandchildren who do not care about the ramifications of raping the Treasury, what are we the people supposed to do? Here's a story out on the Washington Times that's so hand in glove with what I'm telling you. TB-tainted man crosses border 76 times by Audrey Hudson, Washington Times. A Mexican national infected with a highly contagious form of tuberculosis crossed the U.S. border 76 times and took multiple domestic flights in the last year, according to Customs and Border Protection interviews and documents, obtained by the Washington Times. There's your government at work. 76 times, and the Customs and Border Protection Agency was warned by health officials on April 16th that this frequent traveler from Mexico was infected with this TB, but it took the morons at Homeland Security 7 weeks to issue a May 31 alert to warn its own border inspectors, according to Homeland Security sources who spoke on condition of anonymity for fear of retribution from Pinhead, who runs the Homeland Security Department. There it is. They're covering up the invasion of this country. They're covering up the infection of this country. They're covering up the selling out of our national security of this country. And we know it. But it gets worse. I told you the other day on Monday that Pelosi and Reid would likely trigger a war in northern Iraq. I told you it could lead to the cutoff of supplies being transited from Turkey to our troops. I was right. Nancy Pelosi has committed a grave error. Now, you could say it's a grave blunder, but I believe that Pelosi and what's that jerk from Stanford, that self-righteous Holocaust-surviving jerk who thinks he's holier than God himself simply because he suffered as a youth under Hitler. What's his name? I can't remember his name. He gets me so agitated. And why does he get me agitated? Because anyone who uses the Holocaust as a weapon, I hate them. I don't like anyone using a tragedy as a weapon to get over on people. Tom Lantos is so arrogant, it's impossible to believe anybody can be more arrogant than him. He had the nerve to say the other day that Turkey will just have to get over this. Can you believe this? So the Democrats, either knowingly or unknowingly, have triggered the Turkish parliament to approve an invasion into northern Iraq, which will open up another front in our war in Iraq. And by the way, there's another subtext to that one. The war was actually going well for George Bush and the military. The Democrats saw that Al-Qaeda was in retreat. They saw that there was liable to be a little light at the end of the tunnel. Would you believe that Pelosi and her gang possibly did this simply to make sure that the military was destabilized, our military, and that the war went badly? Has anyone suggested that? These people are willing to commit treason. They would drop an atomic bomb to get Hillary elected into the White House. Don't you understand what's at stake here? So now you're going to expect the government to stop a Mexican with a highly contagious form of TB? You think they're going to stop him?
Why would the pinhead who runs Homeland Security do anything to protect this country? It's a bureaucracy. It's about trillions of dollars and nothing more to these people. That's the opinion of millions of Americans, which is why I will repeat, Bush has the lowest ratings of any president in modern American history, 24%. But the Democrat Congress, controlled Congress, is at an all-time low with an 11% approval rating. Can you believe that this would happen to our country, that the people have no faith in either party? I've never seen it like this. I wake up, and each day it gets worse than the day before, much worse than the day before. Houston, Texas. Jason, go ahead, please.
Yes, Dr. Savage, as a student of history, I'm glad that you mentioned the Spanish conquest of the Americas, because I frankly don't see any difference between the illegal invasion of the Spaniards, who infected millions and millions of Native Americans with, at that time, an incurable disease of smallpox.
But the only difference was the Aztecs fought back, whereas we have been homosexualized and feminized and put into a sort of prison of fear where none of us are able to fight back without fearing for our very lives or being imprisoned for committing some kind of crime for speaking the truth.
Granted, but don't you think that it's somewhat related to your ethnobiology, that these same people that were conquered, and raped as a people, that they received some of this Spaniard blood to illegally perform acts of crime and heresy onto the United States of America?
Well, you're giving me a leading question. I'm not going to be baited into that response. I wouldn't talk about blood. I would simply talk about greed. And it's the greed of our overlords more than it is about blood. The overlords want the cheap labor. The Democrats want the cheap vote. And therefore, we have this invasion. So I thank you very much for that call. 1-800-449-8255. 1-800-449-8255. You got to go on to michaelsavage.com and check out these stories. You must go on to my website and read my statement on the staphylococcus infection, because it's a lead story in all the liberal newspapers, but it's a lead that goes nowhere. It hits a cul-de-sac. Normally, in my day, in other words, if they wrote about a disease, the reporter, the journalist, they call them journalists. Today they call them, in those days it was a reporter. Then they give themselves a fancy name. The stupider they became, the more brainwashed the profession became, the fancier the name. These are the same schmucks who, when the AIDS epidemic was spreading like the epidemic it was, they told you to wear a condom. They wouldn't tell you why the AIDS epidemic was spreading, who was spreading it, what subpopulations were getting it. They panicked everybody and made you tell you to put a condom on. And so we have the same kind of mentality here with the staph infection.